We begin this evening in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God. Wait, I got ahead of my... I'm going to go to my bulletin. My notes are wrong, so sorry about that. Something is missing from my notes. Sorry. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We take just a moment to confess in the silence of our hearts. We confess together as a community of faith, most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Hear this good news, and the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord Jesus, you promised to be with us. You command us, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And you tell us, Lord Jesus, you shared the Last Supper and said to us, this is my body which is for you, and this cup is the new covenant in my blood.
Do this in remembrance of me.
Lord Jesus, you tell us, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.
Lord, when did you see me hungry or sick, or as a stranger, or in prison, and take care of you?
Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have been redeemed from the old life of sin by our baptism into the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, may be renewed in your Holy Spirit to live in righteousness and true holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In our sermon series, I Am With You, Jesus reminds us in our text today that he comes to bring forgiveness and reconciliation as we gather together for worship, study, fellowship, and service. In this new year, whom do we need to seek forgiveness from and work towards reconciliation? Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who dwells richly in our hearts. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
It's still the new year. And hopefully the new hasn't worn off yet. In fact, I'm counting on that as we focus today on putting our past struggles and trials and mistakes behind us and taking hold of that new lease on life, those new opportunities in this new year to serve God and to honor God and to do our best to have a positive impact through our faith and in the name of Jesus in this new year on the world around us. It's also the weekend that we celebrate those who were baptized in this last year, as one of them as recently as about a week and a half ago. And this year, I'm pleased to say, of the 22 that we baptized, we had a number of adults along with children who were baptized. Well, and baptism is just that. It's about putting the past behind us and going in a new direction. As Romans chapter 6 so wonderfully states, or have you forgotten that when we were joined in Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And so what dies in us at baptism is our old sinful self. We are washed in the waters of baptism along with the Word of God, which puts to death our old sinful selves. And it raises us up to new life with Christ, a life that honors and serves God. It's that new creation in Christ that we become through baptism. But are we perfect at that? No, we are not. We still live in a world broken by sin. And even though sin and evil still exist, we have been given something that strengthens us in our journey and gives us hope for a brighter and better future that we know and we believe in. And that's that promise of eternal life. And while we still live in this sinful, broken world, we're given that charge by Christ. We're given a charge to live our lives in such a way that you and I, every one of us, become models and examples for others. Not to lord it over them and show them how righteous we are, because we're not, but rather to encourage them and to help them to come to know this person that you and I believe in and trust in, Jesus Christ, to know his love, his forgiveness, and his grace. In our sermon series in this new year, I Am With You, we'll be looking at different passages from Scripture where Jesus is present with us and where we recognize and celebrate his presence in our lives. Today we look at that verse, that passage from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 22. And one of the verses that stands out in that passage is verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Well, what does that mean? I think the danger here is that we often separate this verse by itself, and we read all sorts of activities into this that we define as Christian fellowship, because it's not speaking about social gatherings here. It would be really easy to reduce this to the bare essentials, right? Hey, we had a group gather at a restaurant for food. We had a meal prayer. We checked that off our list. We had a few friends over for drinks and Domino's. We gave a blessing for the food. Let's check that off the list. We went to the deer camp with a couple of buddies, and we sat there enjoying the nature and beauty of God's creation. Check it off the list. Well, it's not a checklist for a badge of faith for doing our religious duty. That's not what this is all about. Now, we need a little law here before we hear the gospel. So I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here and say, we can't use that same kind of checklist for our faith either. For example, I went to church today, check that off the list, I'm good for a couple of weeks, right? I went to a funeral last week. That counts for church. Check that off my list. I read a passage in the Bible last week. That's good for a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks. Now, I could keep going. You know the examples that are out there because you've probably used a few of those, right? But the point is here, it's not about a checklist that's good for a few days, right? It's not about getting a gold star for God. It's not what this is about. We cannot earn our way to heaven. You see, it's already been paid for us with a heavy price. Jesus paid that price by dying on the cross in our place to forgive our sins. I think at times we try to justify ourselves like that rich young ruler in Matthew 19 who came to Jesus and he asked, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" He was looking for a checklist. And Jesus went down that path with him for a moment. "What have you done?" Jesus asked. "Well, I've kept all the commandments," and he named a few of them off. Jesus says, "Okay, you've kept those commandments. I'll give you that. But you've used that as a checklist. I need you to make a greater commitment to God. Go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." Of course, we know the end of that story. The man went away with sadness in his heart because he could not part with his possessions and come and follow Jesus. Well, God wants us to make our faith a way of life and not just a checklist that we do to appease God from time to time. And so today, when we're talking about gathering in Jesus' name, it's so much more than a social event or two where you invoke Jesus' name. Let's look at it today in this larger context of the passage that we have before us from Matthew chapter 18. And as we do, we're going to discover the power of God's grace and love and forgiveness. The passage and the greater context here is about forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's something important we all need to be thinking about. Starts by telling us this: if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. This is the beginning and a part of that process of reconciliation and forgiveness. And so the first step, Jesus says, go to the person who's hurt you, who's wronged you, with whom you've had a misunderstanding, and talk to them. And I know some of you are hanging your heads going like, "I can't do that. That's a hard step." Yes, it is. It's a very hard step to take because it requires some humility on our part and it opens us up to vulnerability. But what it does is recognize that there's an issue between two people. And the best way to solve that is this private conversation to try and work things out. And if that can happen, praise be to God, it often brings that reconciliation and restoration and healing of that relationship with it in that process. That's why that's where you begin. The problem we have in our society is that people immediately want to post everything on social media, hoping that somebody will rally around us and support us over against the picture we paint of this ogre or this villain. This unfair picture we paint. We've lost the art of having meaningful heart-to-heart conversations. And it's doing more harm than it is good to our nation and our society as a whole. Part of the reason that people do this is because they want to avoid those hard but holy conversations that need to happen. I would encourage us to do that, to have those hard and holy conversations. If you go back to Matthew 18, the next step in the process is this. If you can't work it out, the two of you, if you can't resolve it on a one-on-one conversation, bring in a third party, one or two other people, hopefully they're impartial, to listen to what the issues are. And if that can't be resolved, then the next step is to bring it before an even larger group to help resolve it. Of course, that process followed Jewish law. And most people would stop there, and if it couldn't be resolved in that third step, then they basically separated themselves from that person and wrote them off. But if we go further here, we look at the end of this passage today, verses 21 and 22 in chapter 18, what does Peter do? Peter tests the limits here. He's asking the question, Lord, how often must I forgive my brother or sister if they sin against me? And Peter believes that he's being overly generous by saying, Lord, seven times? Right? That's a whole lot more than the three that the Jewish law required. Seven times. But Jesus challenges him and fundamentally states that forgiveness has no limits. Why would Jesus say that? If you go back earlier and see the larger context here in Matthew chapter 18, we discover in verses 8 and 9 that Jesus began this whole section by stressing the seriousness of sin. In verse 10, he warned against despising a little one. And he told a parable about seeking the lost sheep in verses 12 and 13 and stated that his father did not want a single little one to perish in verse 14. The entire process that Jesus describes here must be carried out with humility, with the goal of gaining your brother or your sister. If we come back to that question, looking at the greater context here, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration, what then does it mean to gather in Jesus' name? We see the goal is simply not just fellowship and fun. It's rather about bringing people together to strengthen, to encourage, and yes, even to admonish one another, to build up the body of Christ. That's the purpose. I love how St. Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Got a great example of this. And some of you, I know not everybody watches documentaries because sometimes they're a little bit heavy. But there's this great one from back in 2005. It's called The March of the Penguins. Anybody ever see that one? Great video. Narrated by Morgan Freeman with that great voice of his. I love that voice. Well, it follows the emperor penguins of Antarctica. Okay? You think it's cold here? All right. Their journey through ice and snow to mating grounds some 70 miles inland. And the film captures the drama of these three-foot-high birds in some of the most inhospitable environments on this planet. Once the males have reached the breeding grounds, they are given responsibility for the eggs. They override their competitive nature and form a team for the sake of survival, literally survival. A massive snowstorm sets in and vicious winds pelt the penguins. They're huddled together in this mass as the view alternates from close up of the ice cake penguins to the panoramic shots of the whole group huddled together. Freeman narrates, as the fathers settle into their long wait at the breeding grounds, the temperature is now 80 degrees below zero. That's without taking into account winds which can roar up to 100 miles an hour. And though they can be aggressive during the rest of the year, at this time the males put that aside. They form this united cooperative team. They brace against the storm by merging their thousands of bodies into a single mass. They will take turns, each of them getting to spend some time near the center of their huddle where it's warmer. Oh, what a great picture that is. What an amazing example of how God uses creation itself to teach us about living life together. In this case, it's about what it means for us to be and make disciples. You see, it's not just about casual fellowship. It's about walking alongside one another through the ups and the downs of life to encourage, to strengthen, to build one another up again. And yeah, sometimes life gets messy and hard, and that's why it's even more important that we walk alongside and disciple one another as Christ has discipled us. In the new year, don't pull out your checklist and think that's good enough, okay? Go the extra mile. Invest in your faith through worship and Bible study and service to the church and community. And do it in the name of Jesus to honor and glorify Him. And don't do it alone. We are better when we do things together as a community, whether it's 2 or 3 or 20 or 30 or 2 or 300, we come together as the body of Christ to make a difference and to make an impact in this world. Let's pray. Gracious God, we've got a new year ahead of us, new opportunities to serve and honor you. And so help us to put behind us the past with our mistakes and sinful behaviors and things that we're not proud of. And help us to let go of those, to know that you forgive those, Lord, and to have this new lease on life, this new opportunity you give us daily to be about serving and walking with each other in faith. So guide and strengthen us as a community, as people of faith, as the body of Christ, that we might have an impact on this world in which we live. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.